Okay, I just made this up to talk to you a little bit. I can't go into the background of these bloodlines. I don't have time, but I can just hit on a few highlights. The top 13 Illuminati bloodlines, which maybe I should just mention here real quickly for you. Astor, Bundy, Collins, DuPont, Freeman, Lee, Kennedy, Onassis, Rockefeller, Rothschild, Russell, and Van Dyne, and then the 13th family, which is your holy bloodline. Those are your top 13 Illuminati bloodlines, and right up there along with them, and included in my book, were the Reynolds family and the Krupp family. And so if we look at these families, we'll see that they keep power and wealth by dynastic intermarriage. They maintain as low a profile as possible, and they use fronts for legitimacy. And these are some examples, the Collins and some of the blood that's gotten into them, and the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds have kept track of their genealogy. It goes all the way back to Nimrod, their secret genealogies. Now, my co-author on my books, Cisco Wheeler, her father, Leo Wheeler, gave her a book of the Collins genealogy. At the time, she was trying to leave the Illuminati, and she stuck it into a fireplace. But for people like myself, we'd like to reverse history and get a hold of it. Well, these people, they're into fun and games. And they created their game here, actual game. It's called Illuminati. And you get to do exactly what the Illuminati are doing in the world. The goal of the game is to take over and control the world. And they have all of these cards in the game that indicate the different things that you're to take over. And so I copied a few of the cards. Well, look at this. Morticians, mafia, fraternal orders, multinational oil companies, men in black, TV preachers, Hollywood, evil geniuses for a better tomorrow. These are the type of people that you have to take over to control the world. And wouldn't you know it, the Illuminati actually does. And if you're in the military, they have a lot of manuals. They have this manual for a handbook for chaplains. And if you get it, they tell you about religions that are recognized by the U.S. military. And there are a number of chapters devoted to different type of witchcraft groups. And one of these groups in there is the Church of Satan, which is a recognized religion. In other words, if you're a priest in the Church of Satan, you're exempt in serving in the draft because you're a minister. Okay? In this book, this chaplain's book, it's interesting because they talk about the priests within the witchcraft, and they tell you in this book that there are three levels to in a witchcraft coven. I'm just saying that as documentation of the next thing that I'm going to show you, which is, that's how the Illuminati is organized, people. And there's a lot that can be said here. There's so many of these transparencies are like a week-long seminar, you know. But I don't have a week on each of them. I've tried to condense down here to show you how the original reconfiguration of the mystery religions in 1776 had 13 lifetime positions in the Illuminati, but that was too weldy. It's too difficult to go through 13 positions. So they reconfigured it around the Civil War time. And you've got two levels, and three components, really, that I should talk about. Isn't this very similar to the earlier pyramid that we showed? Remember? Where we had the broad masses and a clergy class and then secret ruling bodies? Very similar? Right? Yeah. The anarchy level. If you want to read about the anarchy level, I've got a book, Ezekiel 6:3, where I list hundreds and hundreds of witchcraft organizations and their addresses. I give hundreds of ritual sites all over the United States and Great Britain, and you can really bone up on it. And then I have a complete list of all the Illuminati standard rituals and a list of occult rituals, which every day of the year has something that could be celebrated by these people. So there's always an excuse to have some kind of witchcraft ceremony. They reconfigured things so that you've got an anarchy level and a hierarchy level. It's very good because the anarchy level is very confusing. The anarchy level are all these covens out there that have individual unique practices. None of them look related. So you enter witchcraft as a novice witch, and you become a craft practicing witch, second degree, and then you become a master witch, which is identical to Freemasonry, the first 3 degrees, right? In fact, Freemasonry's rituals and witchcraft rituals are identical, except that Freemasons leave their clothes on. Then, if you're one of the people that are selected to become a hierarchy member, and I won't go through the process, their criteria, but if you are initiated into the hierarchy level, if you're in the women's, you'll become a Sisters of Light, and then as a teenager, you'll be inducted into the Mothers of Darkness, and then from there, you'll become a grandmother. And then beyond that, there's special positions. Now, what's very confusing when you're dealing with people that come out of the Illuminati is that the Mafia and the Illuminati bloodlines each family has their own self-governing bodies. So within other positions of power that they held. Above the standard 6 lifetime positions, you have your special committees. You've got your Council of 3, your Council of 5, Council of 7, Council of 9, Council of 13, or your Grand Druid Council. You've got your Committee of 300, your Committee of 500. They made a decision to go with 500 multinational corporations. Your Fortune 500 companies are equivalent to your Committee of 500. When I was trying to see how this related to your different orders that the Illuminati has set up, I watched the lives of some of these people, and although because they themselves, you know, are keeping the secret, I couldn't come up to someone in the Order of Skull and Bones and ask them how it works, so I just studied their life and figured it out that way. And as I watched, I saw them go through basically about the same pattern as the system here, which first you'd be tapped to become a candidate in something like the Order of the Skull and Bones, which George Bush, by the way, is a member, as you know. And then your first position there is a knight. And then very soon after your first year, you become a patriarch. And then from there, you become go into the leadership. Or if you watch some of these men, if they as they progress in life, see, what I did was, is I said, well, I can't figure out what the levels are from looking outside in, but I can see chronologically how they advance. And chronologically, somebody's going to go up the ladder, right? You don't go down the ladder, you go up. So you just look chronologically at how these men are moving up, and you'll see that they'll join like the Council of Foreign Relations or the Royal Institute of International Affairs, and then from there they'll go to roundtable groups, and from there they'll go to the Pilgrim Society. Pilgrim Society is very seldom mentioned by conspiracy theorists, but it's far more powerful than the Council of Foreign Relations. And this is showing you some of the other relationships with some of these other things. The Illuminati itself, they are what's called Gnostics. They believe in a Babylonian dualism, but under their structure or incorporated into their structure is the Satanic Brotherhood. And within the Brotherhood, you'll find a three-tiered thing again. You got your Black Brotherhood, the Red Brotherhood, and as you go up, you know, your Great White Brotherhood. I've shown you the steps there for the OTO. There's the Illuminati works through a lot of organizations, and when you understand the mind control later on, you'll understand better. There's so much to tell you, and it's so hard to explain because it has to be explained in steps. But later, I may be able to explain to you how somebody in the Illuminati can operate at all of these different levels. And this you have in your handout, so I won't even explain it, but it gives you a little bit of the history of how the mystery religions have reconfigured themselves. And this is a very important scripture. And upon her head was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Babylon the Great has fallen, has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Her sins have reached unto heaven, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore, precious woods, ointments, slaves, and the souls of men. I know that the writer of this, the prophet, bounces back from second to third person as he writes this passage in Revelation 18, but I think you get the meaning here. And then he goes, Rejoice over her, prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, the most popular Protestant interpretation of this verse is that this is referring to the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church was not even in existence when most of the prophets in the Bible were slain. This is referring to the mystery religions of Babylon, not the Catholic Church. Okay? The Catholic Church is a daughter. See, what are we talking about? We're talking about the mother of all harlots. And all nations. So anybody who tries to tell you that this is a Jewish conspiracy or that this is, you know, whatever they've got in mind, it's all-encompassing. It defies labels. About the best label I can find for it is satanic. In fact, this year we have in the Scottish Rites book, the Scottish Rite Journal. Here the author tells us, and the double eagle is one of the logos of Freemasonry. He says in this article, the Southern jurisdiction's double-headed eagle logo is just one variation of this powerful image which dates back to 3000 BC. And then, as is enlarged here, as stated in Coyle's Masonic Encyclopedia and concurred by Mackey's Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, the double-headed eagle symbol first appeared about 3000 BC in the brickwork of Lagash, a city in Sumer in southern Babylonia between the Tigris and Euphrates River and near the modern city of Shatra in Iraq. Lagash was an ancient center of art, literature, military, and political power. And then these are just a few. There's many, many more countries around the world that have taken the double-headed eagle as their logo. We're talking about Babylon the Great. And remember I talked to you about Nimrod being in the Rothschild's genealogy? Well, what Nimrod did was, remember we had Gnosticism come in. You can be saved by knowledge. And then they realized, but knowledge is power, so we can start getting ourselves a secret power base here. Well, then along came Nimrod, and his great innovation was, let's make this church organized and let's unify it, because Nimrod was a great warrior. Let's take this church, organized church, organized religion, and match it to state power. And by combining state power with a religion, like you saw the Catholic Church during the Middle Ages, you have something very powerful. That is Nimrod's Babylonian system. And throughout the world, you'll see, like here, Colombia, Turkey, Bolivia, Chile, Honduras, Italy, El Salvador, Scotland, Philippines, Israel, Paraguay, Germany, Mexico, France, they all have the double-headed eagle as their logo. And there's others too, like Canada. This I just threw up here to show you that in my writings, like in my Be Wise as Serpents books, I try to untangle the confusion that's out there. There are so many of these groups with similar names. You talk about the Knights of Malta. There's all kinds of groups with the name Knights of Malta. And then the Knights of Malta go by several different names, which some of these other groups also go by. So nobody who's out there that's exposing this world system, this conspiracy, has really untangled this for people. And there's a lot of confusion going on out there. And so in order to help people, I've done some of that, taken the trouble to try to unscramble it for people. This comes from the Talmud, and this was the foreword to the Talmud, and it says, when we come to the Babylonian Gemara, which is the Talmud, we are dealing with what most people understand when they speak or write of the Talmud. Its birthplace, Babylonia, was an autonomous Jewish center for a longer period than any other land, namely from soon after 586 before the Christian era to the year 1940 after the Christian era, 1626 years. So that was a Jewish center there in Iraq for all those years down through modern history. And over here it says, a reliable English translation of the whole Babylonian Talmud has long been looked forward to by scholars. All the censored passages reappear in the text or the notes. You see, when the Jews were in the Babylonian captivity, the mystery religions created a daughter organization of priesthood, which were called the Pharisees. It was a mystery religion, and they had a front, and they had the esoteric front, which looked good, and then they practiced their satanic rituals in secret. And that came from Babylon. And of course, they, like the Illuminati, they had wanted to keep their tradition secret for years, but they finally had to write it down. But there were a lot of passages that were censored out of the text that the public was allowed to see. And what this is commenting on is finally they're coming up with a translation that's going to give more of what the full Talmudic text says. This is the Jewish Encyclopedia. The belief in the magic power of the letters of the Tetragrammaton and other names of the deity seems to have originated in Chaldea, you know, same area of Babylon. Chaldean magic, whenever then the Thurgic goes in, under the name Sefer or Kabbalah Zephira, induced Babylonian rabbis of the 4th century to create a calf by magic. And here it says, Gnosticism was Jewish in character long before it became Christian. And the whole dualistic system of good and evil powers, which goes back to Zoroastrianism and ultimately to old Chaldea, can be traced through the Gnosticism having influenced the cosmology of the ancient Kabbalah before it reached the medieval one. And it says, the Klepet, the medieval Kabbalah, are found in the old Babylonian incantations. So the Kabbalah is based on Babylonian magic. The secrets of the Thurgic Kabbalah are not lightly divulged. See, it's esoteric knowledge. It's hidden. You're only given the knowledge of the Kabbal and the Zohar and so forth in increments. The whole system of conjuration of angels and demons by which the evil spirits were exorcised, even the magic sign or seal of King Solomon, known to the medieval Jews as the Shield of David, has been resurrected. And what this is telling us here is that with the destruction of the temple, this is from a Jewish encyclopedia, the Sadducees disappeared altogether, leaving the regulation of all Jewish affairs in the hands of the Pharisees. When the temple was destroyed, the group that took over Jewish life from then up till now has been the Pharisees. And the next paragraph bears that out. Henceforth, Jewish life was regulated by the teachings of the Pharisees, which were a branch of the mystery religions. The whole history of Judaism was reconstructed from the Pharisaic point of view, and a new aspect was given to the Sanhedrin of the past. A new chain of traditions supplanted the older priestly tradition. Pharisaicism shaped the character of Judaism and the life and thought of the Jew for all the future. So from that time until today, the Pharisees, known as the rabbis, have been in control. And that doesn't mean that all rabbis are evil. It's just like we go back to the tree of the tree that was in the garden of good, the tree of good and evil. Some of the fruit on that tree is good. And you'll find some rabbis trying to do good, and they will say, yeah, they know. You know, if you can get them to talk, they'll tell you about the rabbis that they know personally who are Satanists and into black magic and using the Kabbalah for evil.